Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So we are in the middle of our series in the book of Ephesians. Well, no, we're not. We're like right at the beginning. So if you weren't here before, you haven't really missed anything. What I did in the first week was I laid a foundation by really going through the book of Acts, showing you what happened when Paul went to Ephesus. And what it looked like in Ephesus. And there's this picture of an incredible modern city of its time. You know, many said it was the jewel of the Roman jewel of Asia, you know, Minor, Asia Minor. You know, so it was a very beautiful city. It was a port city. It was a major road city. Lots of goods and transportation, a great business district, a modern city of its time, full of inspiration from, you know, the ancient Greeks with mythology and all that stuff, the temple of Diana, the temple, you know, and many, many other foreign idol worship, lots of sorcery, lots of witchcraft. You know, in that day, it was pretty normal for everybody to be involved spiritually some way, but most of them were involved spiritually on the dark side. So they would be very involved in satanic worship or witchcraft, worship of the goddess Diana. You know, so it was a big part of their culture, to the point where we actually get to see that when Paul goes into Ephesus and begins to minister and people's lives begin to get impacted, the Bible says demons were screaming out, handkerchiefs were placed on people, they were getting healed. So God needed to show up when Paul went into Ephesus because they had their gods and they wanted to see if this God that Paul's talking about is really the God of all gods, God Almighty. Let's see if he's really powerful. And he showed up big time. And so people were getting touched. People were getting saved. People were getting healed. It was revival. I need you to have a picture of what it looks like. But there was a big battle going on between God and Satan in the background. That's the battle. The battle is not against flesh and blood. It's spiritual forces. And you'll learn a bit more about that this morning. So we see this battle taking place. And Paul seems to be making some great ground, because what happens is the people of the city bring 50,000 books worth 50,000 coins of sorcery and witchcraft to be burned. It says so in Acts, in the book of Acts. I think it's around Acts. Where is it, John? 18, maybe. Somewhere around Acts 19. That's about right. That's right, 18 and 19. So just checking on you there, John. You know, good job, Pastor John. So we see this take place. And if you understand the value of that today, it's difficult to kind of figure out perfectly, but we know for certain it's over $1 million worth of books. Anything up to $5 million worth of books. The value of the money that was of books that were being burned. People giving up occultism and witchcraft and stuff like that. Eventually it gets so bad that the blacksmith and the coppersmith and the silver, the guys that build statues, they would build statues of the god Artemis and Diana and all these statues, and so they would build these idols and sell them and make money off it, and so trade was being affected. So much so that eventually they got together, all the guys that were making money off this trade of witchcraft and sorcery and idol worship, that they ended up basically making a massive riot in Ephesus, and it affected the church. But God continued to pour out his spirit. In fact, Ephesus became the biggest church in Asia Minor, and a powerful church at that. And you'll understand why when you see what Paul writes to the church, how he inspires them, and what they begin to understand, and what begins to unfold in their lives, how powerful it is. But I need you to know the environment that he's writing to, so that you understand why he's doing it the way that he is. Is that okay, guys? All right, so let's get into the word. Let's go to Ephesians 1, verse number 1. I'm just going to give you a quick background, and we'll dive right into the text. Ephesians 1, verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ. We've already seen and we know that Paul was an apostle. We spoke about that last week. Writing to the saints at Ephesus, that's the group he's writing to. Saints are holy ones, anointed ones, people that have been set apart for such a time as this. I want you to see that you are a saint. Thank you. I'm so glad you're excited. That's great. Amen. So we are all saints. And then he says this, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You must understand that when Paul's writing to the churches in that time, it was different to the way it is now. They were heavily persecuted. They were being oppressed, and they were trying to grow the church in a time where anything that threatened the Roman Empire would be destroyed. And we know that they came heavily against the church, persecution, to the point where all the apostles ended up being martyred. We know that John, the one they say that wasn't martyred, actually they say he was martyred but was raised from the dead. And then he's the only one that was left that ended up dying in Ephesus, actually at the church at Ephesus. So we know that it was a very, very intense time with severe persecution. So he opens up and his greeting says this, grace to you. In other words, you need grace. With what you're dealing with, I want to bless you. I want to give you grace. And he also uses the word peace. In other words, listen, church, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, and I want you kind of to picture it with what they're going through, but also take it for yourself. With what we're dealing with right now. Grace to you. You're going to have grace to get through everything you need to right now. And I want you to have peace. Listen, God's peace is not the same peace as the peace of this world. It's a peace that surpasses understanding. Remember what I said to you. When I was a child and I had all that fear, when I received that peace that he gave me, I just was completely transformed. I went from being so full of fear. Like I said, on Friday, I was in Sam's Club seeing all these people with all this fear and anxiety, but I had peace. I was able to kind of shop like normal and really just watch. Grace and peace to you. This is how he writes to a church that's, you know, going through a lot but growing powerfully. And then he says this, and this is very powerful. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's writing to them, he wants to encourage them, and he starts by saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's about to tell you why we should be so grateful. Why we should bless and why we should praise. The word bless there also means praise. So he's saying, I want you to bless. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is blessed. Bless him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us what I'm about to show you. So get ready to see what God has made available to every single one of you. No matter what you're going through right now. No matter what the church at Ephesus was dealing with at that moment, he wants them to know, listen, amidst your persecution, amidst growing the church, amidst the trials and tribulations that you're dealing with, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's give him praise. Let's bless him. That's what he's saying. Amen. Amen. You can do it. Amen. In fact, come on, let's give him some real praise. You can do a little bit better than that. Oceans unite. Let's give him praise. Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then he throws this out, and this is packed with power. He says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Let's leave it there. Don't move any forward. I want to unfold this. It's a personal joke, okay. He says, who has blessed us. What tense is the word has? Past tense. In other words, God has already blessed you with spiritual blessings that you can't imagine. Spiritual blessings that are available to you, that can transform you, that can change a community, that can bring healing, that can bring deliverance, that can bring transformation. Or at the very least, if you can even just tap into this, know that God is with you. Grace and peace to you. There are spiritual blessings that have already been done and provided for and available to you. But these blessings are not natural blessings. These are blessings that are found in heavenly places. Now, what the heck does that mean? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this morning. This is so exciting. God's word is so full of power. God's word is so transforming. And that's why when God speaks to us, He wants to speak to your spirit. Because your spirit must catch what He's saying. Because what He's saying is not natural. But if your spirit man on the inside of you can catch what God is saying, you will tap into spiritual blessings in heavenly places and be able to deal with any force that comes against you. The first thing we must understand is that the person who is seated in heavenly places is Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And we'll get into this. We're going to break it down. Ephesians 2 verse number 6 says this, and He raised us up together and made us sit together, this is with Christ, in heavenly places in Christ. So we know that there's this natural realm which we live in, this natural realm of the world, this earthly realm. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is a battlefield. But how are you going to react to every daily situation? Are you going to react naturally, or are you going to react or respond spiritually? Where is your battle? Your battle is not actually in this realm or dimension. And the world will try and conform you, fashion you, cause you to think and react the way that the world teaches us through TV, social media, family, all kinds of different stuff. You'll watch the news for like 10 minutes and not be able to sleep because of the coronavirus. Come on, some of you were there this week. Thank you for your confession in the back. You're going to heaven, brother. Me too. Amen. We'll be there together. Hallelujah. But what happens is we need to understand that we are seated with Him in heavenly places. So He's in heavenly places. We're seated with Him in heavenly places. And I'll show you how that happens in just a moment. But let's look at Ephesians 3:10. It says this. I want to show you what is in that realm, in that dimension. To the intent, Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Every kind of principality, every kind of power, whether it be princes from angels, like angelic angels, godly angels, or whether it be demonic principalities, all forms of principalities, all forms of spiritual powers operate in heavenly places. Are you with me? Now I'm going to give you one more scripture. Someone will shout, I'm pretty sure. Ephesians 6 verse number 12. This is actually cheating. I shouldn't be giving you this verse. This is for next week. But you know, I want just to make my point. I want to show this to you. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Where? So where is the battle? In heavenly places. Where do your spiritual blessings come from? Where are they accessed? In heavenly places. So you cannot battle in the realm of the flesh, because your victory will not, nothing's going to happen. Are you with me? But if you battle in the spirit, if you battle with the blessings that have already been provided for you, you will be able to overcome every obstacle. Think about this. Where does the full armor of God come in? Think about what He's saying here. I've given you spiritual blessings. You can access some things that I've provided for you already to overcome everything you're dealing with right now. And I'm going to show you how this is exactly what He's saying. What you're going through right now, God knew you would be here right now. God knew the coronavirus would be here right now. And He's given you everything you need to overcome it. But you can only access that boldness, that confidence, that faith in heavenly places. So you can't think with the natural man. You have to think with your spiritual man. You have to access the realm of the spirit. Are you with me? I'm not going to get into all the different heavens and all that. We don't need to do that. Colossians 3, verse number 1. Let me confirm what I'm saying to you so that you can hopefully see it. Are you guys okay? All right. Colossians 3, verse number 1. If then you were raised with Christ, how many of you are in Christ? Seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Where is He? Sitting at the right hand of God. Where is He? Heavenly places. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on this earth. In other words, everything you're going through, everything you'll face. Church in Ephesus, Paul's writing to them. Listen, don't worry about the temple of Diana. Don't worry about the blacksmith and the coppersmith that comes against you. Don't worry if they're going to threaten to kill you. Timothy was dragged through the streets. The pastor of the biggest church in the New Testament church was dragged through the streets and killed. But he walked in victory. He saw lives getting changed. He saw God do amazing miracles. He saw people, lives transformed. He walked it out. But Pastor, you know He died. Hey, your days are numbered, brother. Sudden death, sudden glory. When you're walking with the King, when it's time to go home, it's time to go home. Amen. This is but a twinkling of an eye. You'll find out that the glory that we're waiting for is coming. But while we're here, I want to walk in the fullness of what He has for me. And I'll access it in heavenly places. My mind will not submit to the things of this world. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. When the coronavirus comes, I know that no plague will come near my dwelling. Can you say amen? I want you to think about it. That's why I prayed the prayer that I did earlier on with Jehoshaphat. Because you must understand what our president has done, whether he realizes it or not, I don't know. But what I do know is what he's done is he said this. He said, listen, we've done everything we can. Now we have to go to the only one who can really help us. Let's get the nation together. Let's go to heavenly places. Let's receive spiritual blessings. For God said in His word, if my people who are called by my name will call out to me, are you with me? And repent and turn from their wicked ways, He will hear from heaven. And what will He do? Do you understand that that's something that is accessible in heavenly places? But the natural mind will say, oh, you know, oh, that's why things haven't changed for you. That's why you haven't had the breakthrough. Because you still have stinking thinking. Your mind is still controlled by the world. Your mind is still controlled by the force, the spirit of this world, who accesses heavenly places and influences your life. But you must understand that my God has been seated far above principalities and powers and rulers of spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And I've been seated with Him. Therefore, every demonic force must submit to the Word of God. Every power of darkness must submit to God's Word. All right. Let's go back to Ephesians 1, 3, and then we'll continue from there. Man, where does the time go? Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In Christ, that's the key. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Listen, God knew you before the foundation of the world. God knew you, separated you, chose you, consecrated you. That's why the word holy is there. Because He knew you would be here right now. He placed you in time here. knowing you before the foundation of this world. Why? Because he operates outside of time. He doesn't operate in time. So, Pastor, how do I figure that out? How can you? You think in thoughts of time. He doesn't. He created time. But he knew us, his word says, before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy, we should be saints. That's what it's saying. Consecrated, separated to him. Without blame. Listen, don't worry. He's got you. You in all your sin, he's got you. And he'll get you out of that because you'll stop thinking about your sin and just want to access heavenly places. I'll show you how you overcome. There's nothing you can do to overcome. There's only one way that we overcome. Watch this now. He chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Isn't that powerful? So why did he choose you? Is it because of your great gifts? Is it because of your talents? Is it because he knew you would have the best heart? Is it because he thought that it was the perfect time to put you? He chose you, put you here. Or what is it that made him choose you? Watch this. You see, he said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 7:7, when he chose Israel, this is what he said to them. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all people. So that destroys that right there. What about my righteousness? What about my heart? What about how good I'm going to be? Or God knew that I would be really great at this time. No. Deuteronomy 9:6 says this. Therefore understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness. For you are a stiff-necked people. You stiff-necked people, you. Okay, it doesn't say that. I added that last part in. Okay. Just to see if you're paying attention. And you guys are sleeping, man. He chose you because he loves you. And he placed you right here, right now, with everything you have, not because of who you are, but because he loves you. Because he chose you. Because he consecrated you. Because he separated you. Ephesians 1, back to verse number 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Listen, he chose you, he consecrated you, he separated you for such a time as this, and knew you before the foundation of the world, having predestined us to adoption as sons. This is so powerful. In other words, first of all, what you need to know is when it comes to Roman adoption, which was the adoption that Paul would have understood when he wrote this, if you were adopted under Roman rule at that time, what would happen was you would be adopted to this family. Everything, the rights of that family would become your rights. And all the rights of your old family and debts would be canceled. Now you are a son of God. A daughter of God, adopted. He knew this would happen before the foundation of the world. He set it up to be this way, knowing that you would need redemption through the cross. He adopted us as sons. Now we have access because we are seated with rights, the same rights that his son has. He has seated us with rights in Christ in heavenly places. Are you with me? Where do you access these spiritual blessings that are already there? In heavenly places. Are you guys okay? Next verse. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Why did he give us this right, this privilege, to be able to overcome, to be able to walk at such a time as this, to be created for right now. I showed you it's not because of our talents. It's not because of our gifts. It's not because we were special. It's not because we were righteous. It is because of His grace. And Paul overemphasizes it to the praise of the glory of His grace. In other words, he's saying, listen, thank God. Let's give Him praise because He did it because of the grace that's been made available to you. Let's go to the next verse. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Listen, the way that you access everything that you need to overcome the enemy, think about the context of this book. Jesus, in this book, the Lord is going to teach you how to fight. The Lord is going to teach you how to overcome the enemy. The Lord is going to teach you how to walk as a Christian. But before He does that, He wants you to understand who you are. Who are you? You are a son of God. You are a daughter of the King. You've been given blessings. You've been given authority, power. You've been given a calling, destiny. And it's all accessible in spiritual places. You can't think with your mind. You can't access this with your mind. It has to come from your spirit. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. As you begin to access heavenly places and you begin to do battle with the enemy in heavenly places, you will overcome. And the only way that you've been given this authority, the only way that you've been given this power, the only way that you've been given this blessing is because of the redemption through His blood. You didn't earn it. It is not your right except because of the blood. You see, through the redemption of His blood and the forgiveness of sin, it is grace. It is His grace that flows towards us. Pastor Alex, how do I overcome? You can do everything in your flesh and you will not be able to overcome. You may be able to for a season, but in your flesh you cannot overcome. So how do I overcome? Grace. How do I overcome? Why? How does it work? Well, you see, there are spiritual blessings that have already been provided for you. How do I get them? By grace. By doing what? By going to heavenly places. By doing what? By accessing it through who He is. By accessing it through what He has said in His word, promises. That's why you think I'm just saying that no plague will come near my dwelling. Listen, it's in His word. It's a promise that's for me. I claim it, I take it, I charge it, I access it through heavenly places. The world will say, oh no, that's impossible. You know, it doesn't matter. If you get near someone, you're going to get it. There's just nothing you can do about it. No. No plague shall come near my dwelling. I am in the secret. I am in the hiding place of the Most High God. He covers me with His wings. Listen, if you come tonight, I'm going to teach you out of Psalm 91 and some other Psalms. We're going to confess. We're going to make some declarations. We're going to speak them over our lives. That's what we're going to do this evening. But I want you to know this morning that everything that you need to be an overcomer, just like it was with the church at Ephesus when He wrote to them, is accessible in heavenly places. And you have the right to go there because redemption and the cross and the blood of Jesus has been paid so that you can access it. And it's by grace. You don't even have to do anything. All you have to do is cry out, Abba Father, Abba Father. You are my God. You are my Father. I trust in You. I come to You. The world says this. No, I choose what You say. Can somebody give the Lord a clap and a shout this morning in this place? Hallelujah. It's so funny. I haven't even gotten halfway through where I planned to get today. I mean, we could just go on. I tell you, we're about to get to the good stuff. I mean, like, you just don't know. Where He talks about how we can access power. Oh, my God. when he tells you what's available to you, and he describes power, but he describes it in three different ways. Kratos, exousia. Oh my God, it's incredible. When you begin to understand the power that has been made available to you. Why? By grace. Why? Because he loves you. Why? Because you're supposed to overcome in this world. You have been chosen. You have been set apart. You are a son and daughter of God. You're supposed to overcome. You're supposed to walk in victory. But you'll have to come back next week to get that. Amen. All right, let's all stand. Let's all stand. I've got no more time. Father, it is a privilege for us to be able to stand. Your word is full of life. It is full of life. And Father, when we read your word, that these words that Paul wrote, it's like they were written right now. And they still breathe and live and have an ability to change our hearts and change our lives, because your word is living. And so, Father, I pray for every one of us this morning, every precious person that is here. Father, let us know that the battle is not against flesh and blood. That the battle is not ours, but the Lord's. And Father, when we are seated in Christ and have access to blessings that have already been given to us, so that we can overcome every obstacle, everything the enemy throws against us, we can overcome. We will overcome. I give you praise. I give you praise this morning, Father. And Lord, I give you thanks for what you have done. I thank you for your word that, Lord, faith has risen in this room this morning. And I give you thanks for it. We as a people, we give you thanks. Now, Father, I pray for these precious people and those watching online, those that are a part of this family. We also extend this to our entire community and to our nation as well. Father, we pray for the protection of your people, that your hand would be upon us, that you would save us, that you would restore us, that you would heal us, that you would deliver us from the enemy and the plans of the enemy. Father, I pray for our people that you would protect their homes, their cars, their businesses, their children, their family, our elderly, Father, our young children. Protect every household in the mighty name of Jesus. And we know in boldness and confidence that you will do so according to your word. And so, Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise and all the glory and honor in this place, in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. And so, Father, just as everyone goes now, bless them and protect them on the roads, on their journey, wherever they go, into supermarkets, wherever they go, protect us, Lord. And we will always give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.